were born ready? Oh, sure. It takes us a minute. All right. Good morning, everybody. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10 o'clock on Wednesday, March 30th. I am Julie Fedorchak. Also present with me are Commissioner Randy Christman and Sherry Haugen-Hufford, so we have a quorum. Commissioner Christman, do you have any opening comments?
I do not have opening comments, thank you, though.
How about you?
Yes, I do. Good morning, everyone, and glad everyone made it safe. Coming up in April, we have a proclamation signed by Governor Burgum on the Safe Digging Month, Call Before You Dig. So this is a great program, a safety program. There's just a couple things I want to read that I think are very important in this proclamation to remind all of us. The state of North Dakota proclaimed Safe Digging Month, April 2022. Whereas each year the nation's underground utility infrastructure is jeopardized by unintentional damage for those who fail to call 811 to have underground facilities located prior to digging, and undesired consequences such as service interruptions, damage to the environment, personal injury, and even death are the potential results. So I just really want to emphasize April is Call Before You Dig. We want to make sure everyone is safe out there. Thank you.
Excellent. That is a very good reminder, and right before or right at the beginning of construction season. Doesn't look like it today, but we know. This is the schizophrenic season. And construction is just around the corner. And while we've made a lot of progress on those issues in recent years, there's still problems and people still forget. So be sure to call before you dig, whether it's just a small project or something very large. Make sure you know what you're digging into in terms of underground infrastructure. So thank you, Sherry, for bringing that forward. Okay, we have a couple items on the consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right. We have a pretty lengthy agenda today. The packet doesn't look that thick, but it's deceiving because there's a lot of items on the agenda and a lot of variety, so it should be really interesting for everybody. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, 230 kV transmission line, Morton County siting application, case number PU-21-151.
Second.
So on July 26th of last year, MDU filed a final combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for the location of a 1.5 mile long 230 kilovolt electric transmission line in Morton County, North Dakota, just north of the Heskett Power Plant. On October 7th of last year, the commission held a public hearing on the application in Mandan. And MDU testified that the transmission structures 1 through 6 had already been constructed prior to filing an application with the commission to obtain a certificate of corridor compatibility or route permit. So on November 19th, commission advocacy staff issued a notice of noncompliance to MDU for constructing a transmission facility without first having obtained a certificate or route permit from the commission. On December 29th, the commission issued the findings of facts, conclusions of law and order, and issued the route permit to MDU for the project in that location. And then on January 18th, the commission received from Montana Dakota a request to remove topsoil from frozen soil for the construction of 5 pole structures. On February 7th, the commission received a notice from the commission's third-party inspector that on January 21st, so 3 days after they filed with us a request to remove the topsoil was removed during project construction. On February 8th, advocacy staff issued another notice of noncompliance to MDU for removing the topsoil prior to obtaining commission approval. And then on March 4th, they filed a consent agreement between advocacy staff and MDU to resolve the November 19th notice of noncompliance and the February 8th notice of noncompliance. So today's order would, if approved, put to bed all of these issues. So just a little bit of perspective here. The Century Code requires companies to receive a certificate of site compatibility or route permit prior to construction of any permit required facilities, of which a transmission line of this nature is one of them. And then it also requires that areas within 500 feet of an inhabited rural residence must be designated as avoidance areas, and that can be waived by owners of the residences in writing. On November 19th, the commission's staff concluded, they did an investigation and concluded that MDU did begin construction of this project without a route permit, and it did so within 500 feet of inhabited rural residences without receiving waivers from them. Also, on February 8th, our advisory staff concluded that MDU removed topsoil from frozen soil as part of the project construction without the commission approval. So MDU and advocacy staff engaged in good faith settlement discussions about these issues, resulting in the consent agreement that we have before us today that is intended to avoid further administrative proceedings or litigation. And under the consent agreement, MDU agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $50,000 with $10,000 suspended for constructing without a beginning construction without a route permit. Basically, that's 49 for violating 49.2207 sub 1. And then the $10,000 will be suspended if there's no further violations within 7 years of the date of the order. Also under the consent agreement, MDU also agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $60,000 with $60,000 dismissed for violating Century Code Section 49.2205.1 sub 3. And that's the constructing within 500 feet of inhabited residence. So that's what we have before us in terms of a consent agreement, and we can approve it or we can deny it. I'm going to support this consent agreement. I wasn't initially really excited about the $60,000 fine that was suspended, but upon further consideration of that, and in light of the other fine that isn't, that is substantial, I think that it's acceptable to suspend that second fine for the violation of the 500 foot rule, because throughout the fall, the company did try in good faith to negotiate with those landowners and address them their concerns in a number of different ways, and they ultimately could not get resolution with those landowners. And so they moved the structures. And I feel that the cost of moving the structures is a penalty in itself. And so I'm willing to support the dismissal of the additional penalty. And then as far as the original first penalty, the $50,000 with 10 suspended, it is a serious issue to construct without a permit, and I'm very comfortable that the company recognizes that and realizes that it was a serious miscalculation. You can talk to them about how that happened. I think there's just a misunderstanding on some of the requirements. But that said, there were a lot of lessons learned in this case, and it's unfortunate, but really it does underscore the value of the siting process. Because had the company gone through this in the normal course where they filed with us and we had the public hearing, et cetera, all the issues with the landowners would have been brought to light. The company most certainly wouldn't have constructed where they did within the 500 feet. They would have avoided all the trouble, the costs, the delays of doing that. And there would have been better, I'm sure, landowner relations provided for in the long run with that process. So this, you know, even in small cases where the lines are really short, that doesn't necessarily automatically mean that the impact is minimal or nothing. So it is really important that companies follow the siting law, go through the process as it's spelled out, because it does serve a very important purpose of providing for orderly development that balances the needs both of the company and the people living around this infrastructure. So all said and done, I think this brings this case to a proper resolution. I applaud staff for working through this and the company for stepping up as well in the negotiations, and hopefully my colleagues also agree that this is a good resolution and we can settle this today and move forward.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, two different points that are not connected in this. One, I think you, either I misunderstood or you may have made an error on the $60,000. At one point you said suspended, I think, and that is dismissed. So as opposed to the other $10,000, which would be an automatic collection if there were another violation, this is just gone. And so I just wanted to clarify.
Sorry if I said that. Yes.
But dismissed. The other thing was, when we had the hearing and became aware of the fact that of the initial violation, the beginning construction without a permit, I thought too, as you stated, that there are lessons learned, and you know, at that point we didn't know how it was all going to resolve itself. Now they've chosen to move that area, so they're not within 500 feet. At the time, I think they were still in negotiations. I really thought there were some lessons learned. Until then, it turned out when they decided to move it, they didn't bother checking to see what the rules were on dealing with frozen ground and violated that section. And so it does give me cause to wonder. Now, I'm going to support this anyway because, frankly, I think that's maybe something we need to address. I think when we established our policies on digging in frozen ground and the separation of topsoil in those conditions, I know I was thinking of it in the context of pipelines where you're going mile after mile and digging up vast areas as opposed to, you know, drilling a hole. And so this is a very minimal amount of ground, and it's their ground as opposed to some farmer's ground that needs to raise crops on it as such. But I guess I wanted to point that out, that there's still that really isn't even addressed in here, but I think we need to probably address it in our policies too. But at this point it is a policy, so that little part of it still bothers me.
I agree, Randy, and that's a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. I think we also need to clarify whether we expect notification alone or response and approval. I'm not sure that we're clear about that. Maybe we are, but I think that there might be some room for some confusion in that also, because they did notify the commission prior to that happening. They just didn't wait and get an answer back on an approval of their procedure and all of that. So
I didn't recall how that exactly worked out. So that's an important point. Thanks.
Yep.
Is there any further discussion?
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchak and Crispin, for your comments. You've been involved in this case from the beginning. When I read the order, I have to say I was quite surprised regarding the penalty was dismissed based on the complete file. But with the explanation and talking to staff, I'm comfortable with the order's recommendation. And I just want to emphasize, I hope that there are truly lessons learned here and we don't see things like this again come before the commission. So I will support it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission adopt the order issuing Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number 5964 in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Natural Gas Distribution System, CAS and Richland, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-21-386.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. This is an application for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity to construct and operate a natural gas distribution system in portions of Cass and Richland counties in North Dakota. The notice of opportunity provides until, on September 22nd, we issued a notice of opportunity providing until October 22nd for receiving written comments or requests for hearing. No requests for hearing were received. So then on December 15th, we had an informal discussion with the company on this project. Later that month, December 31st, NSP filed comments and requests to intervene in this project, or in this case. January 28th, MDU filed an amended application to reduce the area for which it's seeking certification of public convenience and necessity. And then on February 8th, NSP filed comments in support of MDU's amended application. We submitted the amended application out for public notice of opportunity for hearing. That expired on March 23rd. And let's see here. We have not received any requests for hearing. So today we have an order on this issue. Essentially, MDU will provide natural gas service to portions of Cass County through this application and all of Richland County. MDU proposes to construct and operate a distribution system for the service area along the route of a WBI energy transmission line planned to run from Mapleton to north of Wahpeton. This was to increase the supply of natural gas to customers, industrial customers in the Wahpeton area. And that's the primary driver of the need, is they need increased gas capacity to serve some large industrial customers in the Wahpeton area. Along the way, they're able to have an offshoot from this pipeline built and constructed to serve the community of Kindred. And so that's what this application really provides for. A lot of the folks in that area currently have alternative heating sources such as propane, coal, electricity, and wood. MDU anticipates signing approximately 40 to 60% of the households if they are granted a franchise for approval. So this is an exciting new development for southeastern North Dakota. There's significant demand for natural gas in the southeast corner of Wahpeton and also in the communities along the way. This is a great way to also expand service to this community of Kindred. So we are checking off another community that could potentially get natural gas service, which is great. And I'm prepared to support this order as well and look forward to MDU expanding in this way.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I'm going to try to get through these two orders without saying I'm full of gas. I said that the last time and lots of people couldn't hold back their chuckles. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Gas Service Extension Policy Tariff Case Number PU-21-452.
Second.
On December 21st, MDU filed an application with the commission to consolidate its interruptible gas service extension policy rate 119 and its firm gas service extension policy rate 120 under one rate schedule to be called gas service extension policy rate 120. Anybody who has a desire for a hearing on this must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and reasons for request for hearing, or they can also just file comments, and we must receive those by May 3rd of 2022.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And finally, I move the commission adopt the order requesting comment on measures to promote greater electrification of the transportation sector and Public Service Commission Electrification of Transportation Investigation, case number PU-22-147.
Second.
So this is basically opening up a request for information that is being triggered by the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. That act added a section to the Public Utilities Regulatory Policies Act of 1978 that requests each state to consider measures to promote greater electrification of the transportation sector, including establishment of rates that do four different things: promote affordable and equitable electric vehicle charging options, improve the customer experience associated with electric vehicle charging, accelerate third-party investment in electric vehicle charging, and appropriately recovers the marginal costs of delivering electricity to electric vehicles and electric vehicle charging. So with this order, we're requesting comments from the utilities on the following issues. Existing rate mechanisms that promote affordable and equitable charging, electric charging options, improve customer experience with charging, accelerate third-party investment, and appropriately recover the marginal costs of delivering electricity to these the charging vehicles and this infrastructure. Also, to talk about previous actions taken by the commission or state legislature to implement this type of a standard or a comparable standard, any appropriate measures to promote greater electrification of the transportation sector, and any other information that the commission should consider. I want to be clear that we're gathering information at this point. I don't want this request for information to suggest that the commission is going to be taking proactive measures promoting these same goals. I think at this point we're just gathering information on these particular issues as written in law, but there's nothing that requires us to promote these goals as they are written, and I think that's an important distinction, one that we have looked at before. And I'll just say, you know, when it comes to public utilities owning these vehicle charging stations, the commission has already expressed some concerns about that. I believe gone so far as to discourage that or suggest that we aren't going to allow them to use their, to incorporate that within their existing regulated utility mechanisms and structures. But that said, we're just gathering information at this point and looking at it and seeing where we're at. So I'm looking forward to this discussion and the reports that the utilities will bring forward.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just wanted to say I'm really glad you added those last comments, because from my perspective and being a part of those previous discussions, while I support this motion, that doesn't change my opinion either on the utilities becoming the new fuel providers in a retail manner. And so, kind of second that part of your comment. I also want to emphasize that this doesn't get missed because it's the last of the four, but number D there is appropriately recover the marginal costs. A lot of times in the public dialogue of all this, that gets lost, that, you know, we just need more charging stations.
Yeah.
Well, there are costs associated with that, and someone has to pay them. So I wanted to remind everyone that that's in here, too.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Yet another interesting subject area the commission's going to start diving into in more depth.
Yes.
All right, Commissioner Crispin, you're up.
Okay, and for a while I had four motions on my agenda, and there was a request to delay RC2, and so I will only have, I'm not making a mistake when I go from one to three here. I move the commission approve revision number 9 to surface coal mining permit BNCR-1101 held by BNI Coal Limited to revise the mining sequence for 345 acres in sections 20 and 21 of Township 141 North, Range 83 West, to add 2 acres to the permit and to make updates in response to a midterm permit review in BNI Coal Limited, revision number 9, permit BNCR-1101 application RC-21-298.
Second.
On June 25th of last year, BNI filed the application for this revision number 9. Remember, these revisions are done about every 5 years. This revises the mining sequence. That's a huge thing in this. Adds 2 acres to the permit in section 18 of 141-83. And updates the worst case bond estimate and adds a copy of the federal coal lease NDM105513. The performance bond was increased to cover the projected worst case mining disturbance. The permit is covered by a surety bond totaling $42,449,183, which is a significant increase. And I asked and was told the amount of the previous bond, I think it was about $31 million, close to that. So an increase of over a third onto that bond. But I think that is a significant thing in these mine permits. We have over $42 million now bonding on this. So this revision number 9 was considered a significant revision application and was therefore subject to the public notice requirements. BNI submitted the affidavits of publication for the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and advisory committee members, and we received no comments or objections to this application. So the Reclamation Division has completed its review of the permit revision application and recommends approval, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law. Oh, that's the one that was delayed. RC3. I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in Quest Corporation, PIDS, P-I-D-S, and PAP, P-A-P, cancellation application case number PU-22-20.
Second.
Under the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996, Quest is required to provide open access to its networks to other providers of telecommunications services. Measures known as performance indicator definitions, the PIDs, provide specific data about the quality, and then there's a performance assurance plan, that's the PAP, that applies specific standards or goals to this process. So on January 6th of this year, CenturyLink filed an application with the PSC for approval to eliminate the PIDs and PAP. On January 18th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing in the matter that provided until March 4th for comments and requests for hearing. Just before that, on February 28th, PSC advisory staff filed testimony and requested a hearing. So the issues to be considered include whether the elimination of PIDs and PAP should be approved, and if so, whether all existing interconnection agreements with CenturyLink should be modified to eliminate the PIDs and PAP without the need for further filings or approvals. So in response to that request, this motion would set a public hearing on this application scheduled for June 22nd at 9 a.m. Here in the hearing room at the Capitol.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Commissioner Chrisman, can you double check that date on that order? I was thinking I read something different.
Did I say June 22nd at 9?
I think so, but I was thinking it was at 8. When I saw it was 8:30.
Well, that got changed. There was a conflict. Oh. Originally, it was May 17th at 8:30.
And,
well, someone had a conflict and it got changed. I'm okay with 8:30, too.
Hold on. 24th. Yeah, it is the 24th. That's what you said, the 24th.
No, I think I said the 22nd.
It says in mine the 24th.
You are correct. I wrote, I just changed some notes and wrote the 22nd. So it is the 24th. That part wasn't in the motion. It was just in the discussion. So I don't think we need to go back or anything. But to be clear, it will be June 24th at 9 a.m.
Perfect. Okay.
Thanks for catching that, sorry.
Pamela caught it. I caught Pamela's eye.
Thankfully, I'm not surprised by that. She catches every single mistake down here. And I'm grateful.
All right.
Did we vote?
Did we vote? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
Okay, this could be the shortest motion and explanation of all time if you guys aren't full of questions, because I don't have much to say about it. I move the commission dismiss and close Torch Wireless designated eligible carrier application case number PU-22-84.
Second.
So they notified us asking us to dismiss the application without prejudice because Torch Wireless was sold to another company.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Excellent. All right. Commissioner Haugen-Huffert, you're up.
We only have about six to go through.
Yeah, so. You've got a long list. Here.
Thanks, Randy. I'll take on some of the extra stuff. So. I move the commission adopt the order and notice of default in Public Service Commission, J.P. Hager Enterprise, LLC, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-21-338.
Second.
On July 26, 2021, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Otter Tail Power Company alleging violation by J.P. Hager Enterprise. According to North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-231 One Call Excavation Notice System. So then on November 1st, 2021, advocacy staff and JP filed a consent agreement intended to resolve all issues in this proceeding. Then on January 18th, 2022, the commission issued an order denying the consent agreement without prejudice, allowing for a modified settlement agreement. And then there was no communication whatsoever between the commission and J.P. Hager. On February 23rd, 2022, the commission found that the complaint filed on February 4th, 2022 states a prima facie case, and the service of complaint was initiated on February 25th, 2022. On February 28th, 2022, a return receipt was signed by Jay Hager as evidenced by the return receipt on file with the commission. And then on March 21st, 2022, staff filed and served a motion and notice of motion of order of default. So the facts before the commission indicate that J.P. Morgan is in default for failing to file an answer within 20 days after service. J.P. failed to file an answer of the complaint constituents grounds for default under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 28-32 and North Dakota Administrative Code Chapter 69-02-02. Therefore, the commission may impose a civil penalty up to $25,000, but at least $1,500 or any other relief of the commission finds just and proper. This order and notice of default constitutes written notice of default and statement of grounds of default. Therefore, it is the conclusion. J.P. Hager Enterprise LLC is in default under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 28-32 and North Dakota Administrative Code Chapter 69-02-02 for failing to file an answer to the complaint within 20 days after service of the complaint. J.P. Hager Enterprise is in violation of North Dakota Century Code Chapter Section 49-23-04 Subsection 1 in three separate incidents of failing to provide an excavation notice to the North Dakota One Call Notification Center at least 48 hours before beginning its excavation. J.P. Hager Enterprise LLC is assessed a civil penalty of $1,500. J.P. Hager Enterprise shall remit the $1,500 civil penalty payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days upon service of this order and notice of default. This order of notice and default constitutes written notice of default in a statement of grounds for default. Under North Dakota Century Code 28-32-30 subsection 2, J.P. Hager Enterprise does have 7 days after service of this order and notice of default to file a written motion requesting that the default be vacated. So this isn't concluded. He does have 7 days to submit notice, and we would further consider.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That just goes back to my opening comment on the importance of call before you dig. So I move the commission adopt the order of Northern States Power Company, Customer Credit, Department of Energy Settlement 2020, application case PU21-438.
Second.
On November 26, 2021, Northern Improvement Company, NSP, filed with the commission for approval to refund to the customer the 12th payment of $847,600 received October 7th, 2021 from the Department of Energy. The notice of opportunity for hearing identified the issues to be determined in this matter. And NSP proposed two alternative refund mechanisms. One, to do the 12th payment as the first method, in issuing the credit as a one-line item to the North Dakota electrical customers. And this method would require an extension of 120-day disbursement deadline per the commission's August 4th, 2021 order. They also proposed a second method, granting a variance to the commissioner's fuel adjustment clause rules. They didn't file that. So with the deadline fast approaching, NSP estimated that they asked us again to reconsider the 120-day extension and issue that 12th settlement payment refund. So this order we're requesting that Northern States Power Company proposal to issue the 12th United States Department of Energy settlement payment as a one-time distinct line item credit on the bill to North Dakota electric customers by July 24th, 2022. And that the request for the 120-day extension for the disbursement deadline is issued to them.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. I move the commission adopt the order in the Otter Tail Power Company Company 2022 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor Rates Case PU 22-19.
Second.
On July 5th, 2022, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application to change its renewable resource cost recovery rider rate. The proposed rate reflects forecasted costs related to investments in the Ashtabula and Langdon Wind Farm Energy Facilities and the Maricot Wind Project for April 1, 2022 through March 2023 as a true-up of over-recovered costs from the recovery period April 2021 through March 2022. On February 2nd, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity of hearing for receiving comments and hearing requests. No request for a hearing was received. Otter Tail proposed a $7,825,143 revenue requirement to be collected from customers over the period April 1st, 2022 through March 2023 recovery period. This would result in a RRCR rider rate decrease from 11.825 to 7.108% and to be applied to the energy bill to each customer. So going on, the revenue requirement for the 2022 rider rate is approximately $3.9 million lower than the revenue requirement for the 2022 RRCR rider rate. The decrease can largely be attributed to the change in the useful life of the Maricot Wind Energy Project from 25 years to 35 years and the sale of renewable energy credits. As a result of this change, a residential customer consuming 1,000 kilowatt per month would experience a rate decrease of approximately $3.23. Therefore, the commissioner orders Otter Tail Power Company 2022 renewable resource cost recovery rider rate filed on January 5th, 2022 is approved for service rendered on or after April 1st, 2022.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company purchased asset of Ashtabula 3 LLC Public Inconvenience and Necessity Case Number PU 22-27.
Second.
On January 11th, 2022, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity. Otter Tail Power Company proposed to acquire, own, and operate the existing Ashtabula 3 wind generation facility. Ashtabula 3 is a 62.4 megawatt wind project in Barnes County, North Dakota. On February 2nd, 2022, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing that provided until March 18th, 2022 for written comments. No request for hearing was received. Otter Tail proposed to purchase, own, and operate the Ashtabula 3 wind farm located in Barnes County. Ashtabula 3 is currently owned and operated by Ashtabula 3 LLC. The output of Ashtabula 3 is sold to Otter Tail via a purchase power agreement, PPA, and then is passed on to Otter Tail Power Company ratepayers through its energy adjustment rider. Ashtabula was constructed in 2010, and the PPA between Ashtabula 3 and Otter Tail Power was executed in 2013 and indicated an option for Otter Tail Power Company to purchase Ashtabula 3 in 2023. Otter Tail Power asserts that the purchase, ownership, and operation of Ashtabula 3 will reduce customer costs by approximately 4.56 per megawatt hour over the lifetime of the wind facility versus continuing to pay Ashtabula 3 for the cost of the existing PPA. Therefore, the Commission orders Otter Tail Power is issued a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number 5966, authorizing Otter Tail Power to operate and to own and operate Ashtabula 3 wind facility.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission suspend the rate and notice a hearing of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Rates Case Number PU22-87.
Second.
On March 1st, 2022, Otter Tail Power Company filed an annual update under its Generation Resource Cost Recovery Tariff. The proposed rate update for 2022 includes actual and forecasted costs through June 2023 for the Astoria Station Natural Gas Plant project and net sales and net savings associated with the retirement of Otter Tail Power Company's Hoot Lake plant. Otter Tail Power Company proposes to recover approximately $3,286,266 during the recovery period of July 1st, 2022 through June 2023. The decrease of residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt per hour would be 1.69 per month. Those interested are invited to comment on the application or in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their request in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by May 9th, 2022.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And my last one. And the smiles. Look at the smiles. this has a lot. Is very similar to what Commissioner Fedorchak brought up. I move the Commission adopt the order requesting comments on demand response rate mechanism in Public Service Commission demand response investigation case number PU22-145.
Second.
On November 5th, 2021, the President of the United States signed the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, and the following standard was brought forth. Each electrical utility shall promote the use of demand response and demand flexibility practices by commercial, residential, and industrial customers to reduce electricity consumption during periods of unusually high demand. So what the Commission is asking is that each public utility file written comments and provide the following, and I'll go through them. There's 5 points. A report existing demand response and demand flexibility practices used by commercial, residential, and industrial commissions to reduce electricity consumption during periods of usually high demand for services to North Dakota as well as adjoining jurisdictions. Current rate mechanisms employed for timely recovery for the costs of demand response and demand flexibility practices. Previous actions taken by the Public Service Commission or state legislature to implement the standards or a comparable standard. Opportunities to further promote the use of demand response and demand flexibility practices to reduce electricity consumption during periods of unusually high demand, and finally, any other information that the commission should consider. The commission orders North Dakota Electric Public Utilities to file initial comments addressing the standards by June 15th, 2022.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I would add on this one that I think this is, I'm excited about this discussion that we're going to be having with our utilities. Demand response is an area that I feel is low-hanging fruit for us to help improve the efficiency of the system that we have. There's a lot of new tools available to customers to allow them to monitor and monitor their own electricity use and kind of turn things up and down as they desire, even remotely, or to have things set for certain temperatures varying throughout the day or based on even certain price triggers that might be available. We don't have a lot of those mechanisms in place. We don't necessarily have the tariffs in place to encourage them. And I feel like it's an important step to take now that those tools exist to really help shave the peak in some ways, which also then reduces the need for, or can reduce the need for, adding additional generation resources, which are paid for by customers and expensive to develop. And it also would allow customers to potentially control their own bills more and reduce their own costs by just lowering their usage. So at times like where there's peak demand or a really low supply of resources, these demand response tools are really valuable and can avoid problems in the grid. And so I'm excited to have these conversations with our utilities and dig a little deeper into this issue and see how we might be able to be smarter and implement more of these demand response programs as appropriate.
Is there any further discussion?
I was going to add in on this one as well. You know, some of these things seem like, yes, that they are logical and good and can be helpful to the system, and so I'm anxious to move forward with this. I'm going to be watching this closely, though, because this is an area where I think as a country, we can't get too carried away either, because to the extent that we will have people, depending on what the carrot is that's held out there, that sign up for these things, and yes, the impact of having their power curtailed for a few days or a few hours, either one, in certain situations, might not be very significant to them. But to the people who rely on the services they provide, it might be very significant. And I use as an example, if there were a facility where we go to hold a siting hearing that is on a demand response system, and now we get up there for our siting hearing, but it's a high usage day, and so there's no electricity in that facility, it's been public notice, we can't just move it to somewhere else that doesn't have that. Now we all go back home, and this whole thing has to be re-noticed, and so it, like, to that facility we were going to use, yeah, it saved them a few bucks. To whoever was needing a siting certificate, it could be a significant, costly delay. And so I just want to make sure that we're looking at this big picture, too, on encouraging demand response systems.
We'll have to add that to the list of things Jerry asks facilities. Are you on an interruptible rate?
Well, I look forward to any information that the commissioner should consider and just look at it. I look at what are utilities doing out there as far as education and awareness that we don't know. So I look at it as opportunity and what's going on out there, and we can learn. So.
Yep.
Is there any further discussion?
The one thing, too, I thought Randy was going to go down this path, but he didn't. It is an important piece of the education in this discussion is that when people sign up for demand response, they have to know that they might be called, and they have to be prepared for that. And that's the trade-off that I think sometimes is forgotten in the desire to have a lower rate. So it is. And then I think also in the past, people on demand response haven't been called very often. And so it's been kind of a shock at times when they do get called, and it's like, wait a minute. Well, yeah, you've been getting this lower rate for all these years, and you've never actually been called to hold up your end of the bargain. So I think there's an education piece in that as well.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve.
Before you go into announcements, could mm-hmm. I make a comment?
Of course.
Since I didn't do opening comments, we had kind of a coincidental surge in public utilities items on the agenda today, and a number of tweaks and things to do to perfect these motions leading up to it the last few days. And also our public utilities division, I think, did a great job of getting everything in proper order. And our director, Patrick Fawn, is not with us in the room today as normal, but I know he's listening in. So I just wanted to thank him and the division and say good morning and appreciate all the help, Patrick. Thank you.
Very good. I agree. It was a smooth agenda and a lot of pieces in it. So good work, everybody. All right. So we have, just in terms of announcements, we're already into April. It's hard to believe. Or getting into April soon. A formal hearing, we decided to do two formal hearings back to back in April this next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. We have the MDU Water Pipeline hearing in Mandan on the 5th at 9 a.m. at Mandan City Hall. And that is a 12-inch water pipeline project that feeds the Heskett plant, I believe. And then on the 6th, we have a hearing in Wofford City at Teddy's at 10 a.m. on Caliber 2.6.2 mile natural gas pipeline. And so that will be on Tuesday. So, and then later that month, we have an informal on Dakota Natural Gases. They are having some tariff revisions. We also want to talk to them about their gas supply policies and how they go about securing their gas. So that'll be happening in the middle of the month. And that's it for April. Alrighty, with that, we will go take a brief recess and answer any questions you might have.